You also dedicate today's shir Le'ilu Nishmas Reb Shapsi b'Reb Yisroch HaDoiv, whose yahrzeit is on Tuesday, the 28th of Cheshvan, Mitzvah Shem. Torah Reish Chavov, chapter 226. Mashehorishoim al piroiv heimezamrim nigunim shel yelolo v'yatzvus. This that we find that evil people very often sing songs of depression, sadness, what we call blues. Kihem bechinas nishmas erev rav. Because they are associated with the soul of the erev rav. The erev rav were people, non-Jews, Egyptians, who left Egypt together with the Jews, and they weren't really proper converts. They caused tremendous amount of trouble for the Jewish people throughout the 40 years in the desert. The ima de erev rav, and the mother of the Erev Rav, in Kabbalistic terms, he Lil, is the angel Lil, which is mentioned in the Zohar Kodesh and Sifrei Kabbalah many times. We don't pronounce the entire name. In English, it's spelled L-I-L-I-T-H. But we just say the word Lil. We don't want to say the whole name. Shehi Mialeles Tomid. This angel is always wailing and whining. Yelolo is the opposite of halali. The term halali, halali elokayach tzioi, means to praise Hashem with joy and happiness. Yelolo is the same letters reversed, which represents sadness, depression, melancholiness. V'alkein heimoisim nigunim shel yelolo. And it's for this reason that these rishoim, who are associated with the Erev Rav and this angel Lil, that's why the type of song and music that they favor is these blues, this music, that song that's associated with depression, sadness. And this that we find, that people are drawn to this type of song, to these songs, because on a spiritual level, these songs draw their power from Leah. We'll see soon why. And we know the Torah writes about Leah that her eyes were weak. They were swollen from crying because she had seen Beruach HaKodesh that Lavan had two daughters and Yitzchak had two sons. And the destiny was to be that the older daughter, Leah, was destined to marry Esav, and Rachel was destined to marry Yaakov. And for this reason, Leah cried and cried and cried that she should be saved from this, that she should not, chas v'shalom, have to marry Esav. And in the end, she was successful with her tears and her prayers. So the pasuk says, Ve'enei Leah rakois mibichinas kilkul horois. Her eyes were weak. This represents a dimming of the light. Bibichinas ma'oirois choser. Just as, like the word ma'oirois, when it's written without a vav, as we find in creation, the pasuk says, Hashem says, Yehi ma'oirois berikia shamayim. Let there be lanterns in the sky. And the word ma'oirois there is written without a vav. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Yehi ma'oirois choser, do lil, that this refers to this angel Lil, which afflicts and oppresses young children, and she draws her strength from this dimmed light, chas v'shalom, which is associated with the moon. When the moon, at first, the sun and earth were created equal, we know, and then we're told that Hashem lessened the light of the moon. That lessening of the light is associated with this word ma'oirois choser. The word ma'oirois, lacking. It's lacking its fullness. It's lacking the vav between the aleph and the reish, which is the way it would really be written. The ikar hanigun hu mebechina shevet Levi. And we know that the source of song and music is the tribe of Levi, the Levim. Shehayu menatzchim b'shir. They were the ones who conducted song and music in the Beis Hamikdash. Whenever sacrifices were being brought, it was always accompanied with song and music by the Levim. Shehem ibnei Leah. And the Levim, Levi, was a son of Leah. Va'oz kishenoy lad Levi, and when Levi was born, Nemar, the Torah says, that Leah, his mother, said, Hapam yilove ishielai. Now my husband will become deeply attached to me. Kalyidei shenoy lad Levi, shehu sitra deniguna, because it's through the birth of Levi, who represents song and music, alyidei zeh bechinas hahamshocha, that causes this attraction, this drawing, sheyilove v'yumshach eleho, that Yaakov Avinu, her husband, would be drawn, attracted and drawn to her, Leah said. Because music has a magnetic power, it draws to itself. V'alkein, and therefore, negina, shehu nishtal shel v'yoyred misham, therefore song, which originates from and evolves from there. It evolves from Levi, who came from Leah, whose eyes were dimmed from crying. Mibchinas ve'enei Leah rakois, yesh loy koyach limshoich. It has an attraction to it. It has a drawing power to it. Mibchinas, as the pasuk says, hapam yilove. Now, there'll be a deep attachment, a connection. So this music draws people to it. It connects people to it. Okay, so this is the Rabbeinu Zal here is speaking about blues, sad music, music that's associated with depression, melancholiness. Now Rabbeinu Zal says something interesting. When Jews sing these types of tunes, these types of slow songs, on Shabbos, al yidei zeh malenoisam. Through this, we elevate those songs from a negative place to a positive place. Ki b'Shabbos nishlam ho'or. Because we know that on Shabbos, the light is complete. Bibchinas, mashom Rabbi Senozal, as the Gemara says, in Brachas, page 43, psia gaso noiteles moer einov. Taking large steps during the weekdays decreases the light of one's eyes. It weakens a person's vision. And the Gemara says, Umahadralei bekidusha de beishimsha. However, a person restores that light through the Kiddush on Friday night. The Gemara actually puts a number on this. The Gemara says that when a person takes these large steps during the week, it decreases the person's vision by 1/500. And the Gemara says that it's returned, it's restored through the Kiddush on Friday night when Shabbos comes in. I once heard from my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld, Zechon Levracha, we know that the candles, the women light candles on Friday night. According to the Zohar HaKadosh, a woman is supposed to light 2 candles, period. One for Zohar, one for Shomer. The Hebrew word ner is 250. 2 times ner is 500. This is why when a man makes Kiddush on Friday night and he holds the cup of wine in his hand, and when he says the first paragraph of the Kiddush, Yoim Hashishi, he looks at the candles. By doing that, these 2 candles, 2 times ner, which is 500, restores any of those 500 units of light that might have been decreased, diminished, through those large steps during the week. It's restored by looking at the candles during Kiddush. When the person makes the bracha, Boire Pri HaGefen, and the bracha after that, he looks at the wine. We know that the word Yayin is 70, and the word Ayin, the eye, is 70. And also, according to the Zohar HaKadosh, those who follow Nusach Sfard, there are exactly 70 words in the Kiddush. 35 words in the first paragraph, 35 words in the paragraph afterwards, which is again 70, all referring to the eye, restoring the vision, completing the light. So the completion, Nimtza, Shebishabbos Ho'or Bishleimus. So we see from this that on Shabbos, the light is complete, it's whole. Bibchinas, as we say in the Zemirois on Shabbos, poisim boi psioktana, that on Shabbos, we take small steps, which is the opposite of those large steps which decrease a person's vision. Vazai malin hanigunim anal. And then on Shabbos, when we sing these slow songs, which would seem to be associated with sadness and depression, when we sing those slow nigunim, we elevate them. Sheinikoso mikilkul orois. Originally, they drew from a weakening, from a dimmed light. Alidei Shabbos, shubachinas tikun horois bishleimus. We elevate those songs through Shabbos, which represents perfection of the sight and vision. We know the Zohar HaKadosh also tells us that the word Shabbos itself, the shin, has three heads to it. And these three heads, the Zohar HaKadosh says, correspond to the three colored rings of the eye. And the word bas, the remaining letters, Beis Tov Bas, represents the pupil of the eye, which in Hebrew is called bat ayin, the pupil of the eye. So we see that Shabbos is the concept of light, shlemus of light and vision. Baruch Hashem. Any questions? We continue. Chapter 227, Torah Reish Chav Zayin. Rav Nosson Zal says, Shoshomati Bishmoi. This lesson we're going to quote now, Rav Nosson Zal was not present when Rabbi Nachman gave this shir, and Rav Nosson Zal heard it from another person who had heard it from Rabbi Nachman. Shesiper b'shem tzaddik echod, that Rabbi Nachman told this over in the name of a tzaddik. Shedorash b'beis haknesses, this tzaddik had given a lecture in a shul regarding shema she'oimrim kishe'oivrim al hakoitzrim Hashem Yazor, Hashem Yazor. The fact that when a person is walking through a field, when it's being harvested, there's a custom to recite the words, Hashem will help. That Beis Pei afterwards in parentheses refers to the Russian translation. In Russian, the word Boka Pumash means Hashem will help. So the Beis Pei is just the Russian version of it. What is this custom all about? And we know that this originates from Boaz in the story of Ruth. Okay, Rabbeinu Zal says now, Ki yesh rishoim shem hem megulgolim ba'asabim hagdelim alagagois. The Arizal speaks a lot about reincarnation. And he didn't originate this concept. It's mentioned in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Marsha mentions it in the Gemara in a place, and the original Sifrei Kabbalah talk about this a lot, that every single Jewish soul comes to the earth to accomplish the entire Torah. And until we accomplish the entire Torah, our soul returns. It comes back again and again in order to complete itself. So too, certain sins that a person commit also cause the person to be reincarnated, sometimes in a rock, in an inanimate object, sometimes in vegetation, in grass, in plants, sometimes in animals, sometimes in humans. So here Rabbeinu Zal says that evil, wicked people are reincarnated in grass that grows on the rooftops. Ve'ein lohem aliyah. And these souls cannot receive a spiritual elevation, a tikkun, a rectification. Why? Ki ein koitzrim oisam asabim. Because no one cuts that grass usually. It's just ignored. Vize bechinas, this is what the pasuk in Tehillim is referring to when it says, Yihyu kechotzir gagois. They will be like the vegetation, like the grass that grows on the roofs, on the rooftops. Sheloi miloi kapoi koitzer, whereby the one who's harvesting does not fill the palms of his hands with that grass. He doesn't cut that grass. Veloi omru ho'ivrim birkas Hashem. And therefore, those that pass by there do not recite Hashem's blessing. Ki ein koitzer noisam, because they don't cut that grass. Veinoim ramaleim birkas Hashem b'shol shev maleim, and therefore they don't recite this blessing of Hashem. May Hashem bless you. May Hashem help you when they're going by there. V'al kein ein lohem aliyah, and as a result of that, those souls do not have a spiritual elevation. Whereas the grain that is harvested, Oimrim, the custom is that those that are harvesting it, they say, Birkas Hashem, Hashem's blessing should be upon you. And through this, the souls that are found in those in that grass, in that vegetation, is elevated. The Baal Shem Tov writes that in the chapter in Tehillim, chapter 107, which we recite on Friday night, those that daven Nusach Sfar again, before the final mincha of the week, on Erev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon, we say, Hoidu Lashem Ki Toiv Ki Loilam Chazdoi. We recite chapter 107 in Tehillim. In that chapter, there's a sentence where it says, Re'evim Gam Tzemeim. They're hungry and also thirsty. Nafshom Bohem Tisatov. Because the souls are wrapped in them. Who's the in them? In food and drink. That's why Hashem makes it that a person should be hungry and thirsty so that they'll eat and drink this food. And when they make a proper bracha on the food, when they make a blessing before eating and drinking and after eating and drinking, through this they elevate those souls that are trapped in that food, are released and elevated. It's interesting, there's a story about Reb Levi Yitzchak Berditchev that someone once came to visit him and Reb Levi Yitzchak reprimanded him about the fact that he had once taken a drink without saying a bracha, by mistake. And what happened was, Reb Levi Yitzchak told him that there was a certain person who had committed a sin, and his soul was reincarnated in a grain of wheat. And that grain of wheat had to wait for its tikkun. And what happened was, this grain of wheat, when a soul is reincarnated in the body of a human being, then the person doesn't know. He doesn't know about the soul that's inside. He doesn't know where it's coming from. Only the greatest of tzaddikim know this. However, when a soul is trapped in an animal or in vegetation, then the soul does know. It knows that it's not in a good place, and it knows that it needs a tikkun. It needs an elevation, a rectification. So this soul that was in that grain of wheat was waiting and waiting. And when the crops were harvested, that grain was sent to a distillery where it would be made into whiskey and then had to age for 10 years. Certain whiskeys, they age for 12 years, Shivas Regal, this. So that whole time, this soul is suffering and waiting and wondering if it would ever get a tikkun. Eventually, the whiskey was sold to an innkeeper whose clientele included Jews and non-Jews. Now this soul is waiting and hoping maybe it'll be sold, maybe this whiskey, this bottle of whiskey will be sold to a Jew and he'll make a bracha on it. This person who had come to visit Reb Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, he said to him, you were the one who went to that inn and you ordered a drink, but somehow mistakenly you drank without making a bracha. And as a result, that soul wasn't able to get its tikkun at all. And look how much that soul suffered. Hashem planned everything so that grain of wheat should come to that distillery and be processed, and so that it should come to you and you should make a bracha, and you didn't do it. And then Reb Levi Yitzchak Berditchev informed him that that soul was his father, his own father, that person's father. We see that there's incredible importance to a person trying to make sure to say a bracha slowly, to say a bracha out loud so that people can answer amen when possible, so that you're getting the full benefit, so that you're getting the benefit, and the food is getting the full benefit of the bracha that the person is making. Rav Nosson Zal speaks a lot about this in Likutei Halachos, in Orach Chaim Chelek Beis, in Hilchas Birchas HaPeiros, Birchas Oriya. Rav Nosson Zal really elaborates on this topic, the topic of the souls that are found in food that need elevation, and how critical it is that we understand the value of the brachas that we make on food. Any questions?
Yes, source we say Hashem Yazro was from Boaz.
Chapter 2 in Megillas Rus, Pasuk Dalid. Vehine Boaz bo mi Beis Lechem. Boaz returned from Beis Lechem. Vayoymer lakoitzrim. And he said to those who were harvesting his fields, Hashem imochem, Hashem is with you. Vayoimru loy, they responded to him, Yivorecho Hashem, may Hashem bless you. We continue, chapter 228, Torah Reish Chof Ches. Rabbeinu Zal says, Da, you should know, Shekish HaKadosh Baruch Hu mistakel baneshama, Shetucha lahachzir b'nei yodam b'tshuva v'laso izgerim, that when Hashem observes a soul that's capable of helping people to do tshuva, to repent, and to actually assist non-Jews in converting to Judaism, just as we find in the parshiyos of the Torah that we're reading now, Avram Avinu and Sarah were involved in this, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov Avinu, Yosef HaTzadik, Azai hu yisborach bi'atzmoy kaviyochol mevakesh v'roye sheyia machloikas alav. Then Hashem himself sees to it that this soul should experience opposition, machlokes. Because we have a rule, the Gemara says in Yevamos, page 24, ki ein mekablim geirim limoy samoshiach v'loy bimei shloimoy, that we do not accept converts once Moshiach has come, and also not during the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Why? Mishum Shulchan Malachim. Because during those times, the Jews are very high. They're respected by the entire world. Ki oz ein mezgairin me'ava. And therefore, under those circumstances, a person who's coming to convert isn't doing it necessarily out of respect for Hashem, but rather, rakmach masheroyim gidulas Yisrael, because they're seeing the success of the Jewish people, that the Jewish people are riding high and the whole world respects them and everything, so coming to join at that time doesn't really have the full value. V'ikr hagerim hu, kishemizgairin be'ez sheYisrael schufim ba'oini v'doichak. The real sincere conversion is when people come to convert at a time when the Jews are suffering from poverty and oppression. K'may shekosav, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, chapter 54, Mi gor itoch ba'anu yoseich, who came to live with you, who came to join with you when you were in your state of poverty, when you were downtrodden, when you were suffering? The word gor, by the way, has a double meaning. It means to come to live with you, and it also means to have fear, to respect you. V'alkein, and therefore, behechrech sheyihye machloikis, al mi shemachzer b'nei odom lamutov u'megayar geirin. This is why it's necessary that a person who's involved in this special holy work of helping people do tshuva and bringing converts close to the Jewish nation, there must be, that person must have opposition, machloikis against them, kedei shelo yeloi shum shalva, so that the person doesn't have any peace, any tranquility. Ki oz, because then, mi shemiskare velov, a person who comes close to the tzaddik, when the tzaddik is not at peace, but when the tzaddik has great opposition, then hu be'emes, then it's a real true conversion, then it's a true hiskarvus. Vazai yochoy legayer geirim be'emes, and then that tzaddik has the ability to make true bona fide converts, loy mishum sholem v'nachas, not ones who are motivated by peace and contentment because they see the Jews are experiencing wonderful times of prosperity and wealth and everything, which would not be a completely sincere conversion. V'sehu, and this is why the pasuk says, Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz megurei oviv. Yaakov Avinu settled down in the place where his father had previously lived. It uses the word megure, ve'isa b'medrash. The medrash says, megure oviv shohoya megayer gerim kimoy avoisov. This teaches us that Yaakov Avinu followed in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Yitzchak Avinu and Avram Avinu. He was also involved in bringing people close to Hashem. Kimoy migiure oviv. As if it would say not Megure, the residence, but Megiure Yaviv, that he was following in the footsteps of bringing people close to Hashem. And this is why our rabbis tell us in the Medrash, Vayeshev Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu, settle down. The Medrash says, not so fast. Bikesh Yaakov Leshe Beshalva, Yaakov Avinu wanted to settle down. He wanted to live in peace and tranquility. Miyad Kofatzolav Rugzoy Shaloysov. However, Hashem did not allow that. And immediately, the crisis regarding Yosef HaTzadik went into effect, of the brothers hating him and wanting to kill him, etc. Hainu, this means, Machmashe Yaakov Hoyo Megayar Gerim, because of the fact that Yaakov Avinu was also involved in bringing people close to Hashem and making converts. Now note, he did this obviously within the framework of Halacha. He wasn't proselytizing. Those non-Jews who came and wanted to join, these tzaddikim, the Ovei Sakdoshim, helped them. Bechinas Megurei Oviv, al yidei zeh lo hayo yochol leishe b'shalva. Because Yaakov Avinu was involved in this type of work, therefore he could not live in peace and tranquility, kedei sheyu hagerim be'emes, so that those converts which would come and join Klal Yisrael through him, their conversion would be a true, honest, sincere one. V'yeloi shalva, and if Yaakov Avinu were experiencing peace and tranquility, lo yuchal la'aseis gerim, he would not be able to make authentic converts, ki ein mekablam gerim l'moisa Moshiach kanal, because we have that rule that when the Jews are experiencing major success, prosperity, and tranquility, like during the time of Moshiach, then we will no longer accept converts. This answers the question that people ask many times. Why was there so much opposition against Rabbi Nachman? The answer is because Rabbi Nachman put a tremendous focus on this, on helping Jews during his lifetime and after his passing, Bizocha to Tshuva. This is what he was really all about. And because of that, he experienced this fierce opposition, so that those who joined him during his lifetime and after his passing during the time of Rabbi Nosson Zal, when the opposition was even worse, those who joined at a time like that, when Breslov wasn't fashionable, when on the contrary, many people looked down on it and derided it and insulted it and persecuted Breslovers, their hiskarvus, the people coming close at that time, it was very special. We find Yosef HaTzadik also. It says in that parshan, Parshas Vayeshev, Eile Toildois Yaakov, Yosef. These are the children of Yaakov Avinu, Yosef. And Rashi quotes the Gemara, which says Yosef HaTzadik was the one who inherited most of the wisdom and the power of his father Yaakov Avinu. And it says there, Yosef ben Shvas Reshono, Hoyoroye es Echov Batsoin, Vuhu Naar es Bnei Vilho, Ves Bnei Zilpan Esheyoviv. That Yosef HaTzadik, when he was 17 years old, he shepherded the cattle and the sheep of his father, and it says he befriended the children of Bilha and Zilpah. And the Gemara points out that Yaakov Avinu had four wives, Rachel and Leah, who were considered to be the more authentic wives, and Bilha and Zilpah, which were looked at as a second class. And the sons of Rachel and Leah shunned the children of Bilha and Zilpah. They weren't makar of them, but Yosef HaTzadik reached down, he reached out to them, and he was makariv them. He sought to defend the persecuted, those who were not invited, made to feel welcome. And it's because of that that he encountered the opposition that he did. Any questions? We continue. Torah Reish Chof Tes, chapter 229. Rabbeinu Zal says, Da, you should know, Sheyesh Eitzim, that there are certain types of trees and wood, whereby when a person makes a bed out of this type of wood, this type of wood helps in being able to bring children into the world, in a couple being able to produce children and to be able to raise them. They should be healthy and successful. V'chein lehepech. And the opposite is also true, that there's a different type of wood, which chas v'shalom, if the beds are made of that type of wood, it could have a negative effect on parents being able to produce children, and again, the children being able to be healthy and successful. V'zeh merumas b'pasuk. This is hinted to in a pasuk where when the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik came back to their father, Yaakov Avinu, and they told him the experience that they had down in Egypt, that they met this person who gave them a whole interrogation. He wanted to know everything about them. And he revealed to them some things about them that they couldn't imagine how he possibly knows this. They said, Sho'el sho'al ho'ish lonu l'moyladetenu. This man kept asking us about us and about our birthplace. Ve'isa b'medrash, and the medrash expounds on that pasuk and says, Afilu atse arisoisenu gilolanu. He even revealed to us and told us about the wood from which our beds were made. And again, the Medrash says that on the pasuk referring to us and our children. Kalidei atse hamito, alideze sgula sahoilodo. Because again, the wood of the bed can affect the favorable conditions of childbearing, producing children, and the health and success of the children. Obviously, we know that prayer helps in all cases. So again, we pray when a person is shopping for furniture. Of course, a person prays that I should be zeichah to buy the right furniture, furniture that'll bring a blessing into the house, not the opposite, whether it's beds or other furnishing. And we pray that we should be blessed with children, good children, healthy children, religious children. Of course. Any questions? Torah Reish Lamed, chapter 230. Rabbi Nazal says, Da, you should know, Mi sheyeshloi einayim lirois, that a person who has a good pair of eyes, a person who has clear perception, Yochoy lirois ulahakir baponim shelatalmid, Mi hu raboi, can be able to see and recognize by looking in the face of a student who his rabbi is. Ubilvad sheroi raboi pamachas, on condition that the person has saw the rabbi at least once. Ki, because Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, Chochmas Odom To'ir Ponov, the knowledge of a person's wisdom lights up his face. Nimtza, kishatalmid mekabel chochmas rabbi, when a student receives the wisdom of his rabbi, who mekabel ponov, he's actually receiving the features of the face of his rabbi, the light of the face of his rabbi. Ubishvil zeh tzorich listakel b'fnei rabbi b'shor shemekabel chochmosoi. It's for this reason that it's so important when a student is receiving knowledge from his rabbi, that the student should look into the face of the rabbi. Kemoshekosuv, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya Navi, V'hoyu einecho royois esmoirecho. Your eyes will see your teacher. Ki hachochmo hu baponim. Because chochmo is transmitted, knowledge is transmitted from the face. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the face has a menorah in it. We know that which provided light in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah, had seven candles. The Zohar HaKadosh says the face is shaped like a menorah. The mouth is the middle candle. Then you have the two nostrils. Then you have the two eyes. Then you have the two ears. These are called the windows of the neshama, by which the soul transmits and receives. So when a rabbi is teaching Torah, he's passing that Torah to the students through his eyes, through his mouth, through these windows of the neshama. And that's why it's important to look into the face. V'alkein, and therefore, kishemistakel b'fnei ha-talmid, when a person looks carefully into the face of a student, yochoy leida mihu rabbi kanal, they're able to know who that student's rabbi is. The Torah tells us that the concept of the sun and the moon also represent a rabbi and a student. The sun is giving off light, and the moon receives and reflects the light of the sun, like a student receives and reflects the knowledge of his rabbi. And again, looking in the moon, we're seeing the light of the sun. We're seeing the sun through the moon. Any questions?
I have a question about the branches of the menorah. Do each of the branches represent something different? And we can see that analogy in the features of the face?
I believe yes. Each one is something different. Each branch of the menorah, as it came out, represented a different aspect of this great light. There's an interesting quote among Chassidei Breslov where they say, Ashrei to the eyes that saw the eyes that saw the eyes that saw the Rebbe. You know, blessed is a person who zeichet to look into the eyes which saw the eyes which saw the eyes. You know, here again, that it's coming down from generation to generation. But we believe that each one of the students, if he's a true student, he receives some of that light and some of the spiritual face of the rabbi. I'm sorry, someone wanted to ask something further?
Is this why Yeshua is called a moon to Moshe's son? Because he's reflecting the light?
Exactly. Pnei Moshe kipnei chama, the face of Moshe Rabbeinu is like the face of the sun. Pnei Yehoshua kipnei levana, the face of Yeshua resembles the face of the moon. Next, Torah Reish Lamed Aleph, chapter 231. Rabbeinu Zal says that when a Jew is davening shachris in the morning, and in Psukei Dezimra, after we finish the Hallelukas, we say, Vayivorech David es Hashem le'enei kol hakohol, that paragraph. And in that paragraph, there's a sentence where we say the words, Utzvo Hashamayim l'cho mishtachavim. All of the heavenly hosts bowed to you, Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says that when a person is davening shachris, when they're saying those words, Utzvo Hashamayim l'cho mishtachavim, roy lehispalel al kol dover. That's an opportune time for a person to put on the brakes, stop, and think of anyone that you know that's close to you that needs a refuah shalema or that needs any other type of Yeshua. Ki kol harefuois al yidei koichos hagalgalim shem tzvo hashamayim. Because we know that all curing and healing originates from the heavenly spheres, from the sun and the moon and the stars. V'chol echod noisein koyach be'eze sam v'esov hashayach loy. Each one of these heavenly spheres sends down its energy into the grass and vegetation and different herbs from which medicines are made. And again, each different vegetation is associated with a different sphere of the sky, each different star, etc. Umehem mekablim hasamim voasabim koyach larapois. And it's from these heavenly stars and hosts that the vegetation, the herbs and everything, receive their healing power, their medicinal power. There's a famous statement, Ein lecho kol esev ve'esev melamato, there isn't a single blade of grass down below, she'ein olav koichov milamala, that doesn't have a star or a malach above that strikes it and commands it to grow. So each blade of grass, each bit of vegetation is hooked up to a star and to an angel, a corresponding star and angel, that affect the growth of that grass and this vegetation from which medicines are generally made. Ukeshetzrichin refuah, and when a person is in need of a cure, mischabrim kama koichos meagalgalim, several different powers of these different celestial forces come together, sheze noisin koich beis of ze, this star gives power to this grass, v'ze be'esav acher, and a different star gives power to a different grass, u'kiyotze, u'mischabrim kulam, and they're all brought together, v'oisameihem harkovo l'refuah, and they're united to form a compound that's used as a medication, as a medicine, to heal, to cure a person from whatever sickness they have. Alkane, therefore, toiv levakesh mi'Hashem yisborach be'eis she'omrim utzvo hashamayim l'chol mishtachem. Therefore, when a person is reciting these words, that all the heavenly hosts, all the stars and everything, and all the angels are all bowing to Hashem, that's an opportune time for a person to ask Hashem for refuah. We know that you can't really speak at that time because it's in between Baruch Shomar and Yishtabach. You can't speak, but a person could think and have in mind praying for a refuah, for myself, for any member of my family, or anyone close to me that needs a refuah. She'oz boim kulam lehishtachavois. When we say those words, that's when all of these angels and heavenly spheres are coming to bow to Hashem. Velitein shevach vohidoyo elav yisporach. And to give praise and thanksgiving to Hashem. Sheyitzave Hashem yisporach lem. At that opportune time, Hashem should command them. Sheyamshichu elu hakoychoy satzrichim lerfuosoy. That they should pass on the powers, the healing powers, that we need for our healing, betoy chatichas lechem. They should put it into the bread that we're going to eat, oy bedov racher, or the water that we're going to drink, anything. V'yisrape memela. And then we'll be automatically healed, we'll be cured easily and automatically, meaning I won't have to go search for the exact type of medicine, and it's not even available in this city or this country. It has to be brought from a different country. But rather, Hashem can command these angels and these heavenly spheres to shoot their healing power into the bread and water that we eat and drink. We know the Torah says this. Hashem said, the Pasuk says, Uberach, that when we'll fulfill the will of Hashem properly, Uberach eslach mecho vesmeimecho, Hashem will bless your bread and water, vasiroisi machlo mikirbecho, and I'll remove any illness from you. We know that the word machalo, which means illness, is the same letters as the word halechem. So if Hashem wants, Hashem can issue a command that the healing power that's transmitted via these angels, via these heavenly spheres, should go into the bread, the most basic things that we eat, to make it easy for us to be able to receive the refuah. Rav Nosson Zal adds, Ayin inyan ze ba'arichus, belikute tanino b'simen aleph. If you want a real elaboration on this topic, you'll find it in chapter 1 of the second half of Likutei Moran. There Rabbeinu Zal goes into tremendous depth explaining how this works, how the whole power of cure and healing with medicines works, and how a person can expedite that through the right type of tefillah. Any questions?
If this pasuk is only a time to daven for a fool or for anything else?
It seems that it would apply to everything. Rabbeinu Zal's keying in, he's bringing his proof, he's showing it really most clearly from the issue of refuah. But he does make it very clear, al kol davar. We continue, Torah Reish Lamed Beis, chapter 232. Rabbeinu Zal says, again, when a person is davening shachris, or they're reciting Tehillim, and when they recite chapter 148, which begins with the words, Hallelujah Hashem in Hashemayim, praise Hashem from the heavens, Hallelujah Kol Malachov, all angels praise Hashem, Hallelujah Kol Tzavov, all heavenly hosts praise Hashem. Azai ho'odam koire lekulam. When a Jew says those words, he's actually calling out to all of these angels and all of these stars, umetzave lekulam sheyahalelu es Hashem. And we are actually commanding them to praise Hashem, which is an incredible power that Hashem gives us. Hashem gives us the authority, the power, that a Jew can say these words. And when he says it properly, with real kavon, he's actually issuing a command to all the heavenly hosts and to the fire and to the plants and everything, all the different things that are mentioned in that chapter of Tehillim. We are commanding them to praise Hashem. When a person realizes this, this alone should inspire a person and motivate a person to really say the words with tremendous kavana, putting their heart into it. Meacha shebetfilosoi koirei lechol ha'oilamois lahalolo yil shabchayis borach. Since my prayer, with my prayer, I'm calling out and inviting all of the worlds, the heavenly worlds, to praise Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Any questions? Torah Reish Lamed Gimel, chapter 233. Rabbeinu Zalhiya addresses a topic which is mentioned in several places in Likut Imran, and it's something that all of us struggle with and deal with. Kishemizgabrim al ha'odom, machshavois rois v'herhurim. When a person is plagued and attacked by bad thoughts and sinful thoughts, fantasies that are crossing the boundary of sinful thoughts, committing sins with women or other types of sinful thoughts, v'hu mischazek u'mizgaber aleim u'menatzeach oisam, and the person strengthens himself and he overpowers these thoughts, he succeeds in overcoming them and not allowing them to remain in his head. Yesh laHakadosh Baruch Hu tanug gadol mizeh. Hashem draws tremendous pleasure from this success. V'hu yokor ma'oid b'ene Hashem yisborach. This victory, this success is very precious in the eyes of Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal compares this. He says, k'moshel, this could be compared to kings in olden times. Sheyesh Eitzel Hamalochim Lefomim Biyoma de Pagra, that kings, when there was a special occasion on the day that this king was appointed king or on his birthday, a day of major celebration, Heimanichin Kamo Chayois Sheyenatzchu Zem Zer. The kings would stage an arena, and they would put powerful animals against each other, a bull against a lion or something like that. And this was a form of tremendous entertainment to watch these two powerful forces pitted against each other and battling with each other. V'heim oimdim u'mistaklim, and the kings watch. V'yeshlem tanu gadol min hanitzachim, and they draw tremendous joy and pleasure from this combat, from watching this battle and seeing the winner come out successful. We know that the Gemara says Malchusa Dara Ke'en Malchusa Derekia, that the way kingdoms conduct themselves on earth in some ways resembles how things are in heaven. So there are certain things that Hashem has created and caused to take place on earth in order to give us insights as to how things go on in heaven. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Kemoikein, Hamachshavois heimboim mebechinas hachayois. The thoughts that come into our minds, they come from chayois. The term chayois means wild animals. The term chayois also refers to a certain level of angels. And we'll talk more about this in a moment. Umachshavois kedoishois heimbechinas chayois tohoirois. When a person has holy thoughts, pure thoughts, they correspond to kosher animals, holy animals, pure animals. Umachshavois rois, when a person has bad thoughts, sinful thoughts, heim bechinas chayois temeois, they correspond to non-kosher animals. Umanichim bekavono melemalo sheyenatzchu zem ze, and kavyochel Hashem ordains and orchestrates that these two should be battling each other in a person's brain. Good thoughts versus bad thoughts. Thoughts of serving Hashem, thoughts of Torah, thoughts of performing mitzvahs, versus the opposite kind of thoughts. V'yesh laKadosh Baruch Hu tanu gadol, and Hashem draws tremendous pleasure, kishe'odo mizgaber al achayos tmeyos u'menatzeach oisam. When a person overpowers those impure animals and defeats them. The Tikkuni Zohar in chapter 21 towards the end speaks about this. It speaks about the throne of Hashem, and we're told that on the throne of Hashem there were four legs, kavyachol, and there were four images. The image of a lion, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, and the face of a human being. These three, a lion is king of the chayos, the non-domesticated animals. The shoer, the ox, is the king of the domesticated animals. The eagle is the king of the birds. And man is the king over all of them. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that each one of those three, the lion, the ox, and the eagle, correspond to different organs of the body, the brain, the heart, and the lungs. The fourth image, the image of the face of a human being, corresponds to the thought process, the thoughts of a person. So when a person is engaging in holy thoughts, pure thoughts, those thoughts are coming from these chayos tohoyrois, from this holy place. When a person, chas v'shalom, has sinful thoughts, bad thoughts, those thoughts come from the other side. There's the throne of Hashem, which is holy, and there's the throne of impurity, kavyachol, upon which also there are these images. There the animals are not the lion and the eagle, and there the animals are the dog, a kelev, and a chamoyer, a donkey, and a vulture. All these three represent tame animals, which correspond to the spleen, the gallbladder, and the liver in the body, which all correspond to the left side, midas hadin, something that's not happy, not chesed. And again, the bad thoughts, the sinful thoughts, that's the fourth element in this. Obviously, we don't understand this completely, and a person would say, Hashem has nothing better to do. What are you comparing Hashem to a human king, to these idiots who... The answer is, obviously, this is something very holy and very special. Haklal, Rabbi Nazal says, the fact is, She'i efshir b'shum oifen bo'ilam, she'yu shnei machshovois b'yachad b'pam echod. It's impossible, 100% impossible, for the person's mind to focus on two thoughts at the same time. Alkein, therefore, bekal yecholin legarish machshavos rois. A person can easily drive away bad thoughts, sinful thoughts, rak besheva al tase, simply by not thinking those thoughts, meaning, the person should disconnect the brain from that sinful thought, that bad thought, and attach the brain, reconnect the brain to a different thought, batora, a thought in Torah, or avoido, or any other service of Hashem, or even business, whatever it is, whatever it takes. Because it is impossible for two thoughts to be on the person's screen at the same time, to exist simultaneously on the person in the forefront of a person's mind. We know there are many Sfarim that write about this topic, about how a person should deal with sinful thoughts, and they give all kinds of advice. Rabbi Nazal speaks about this in a number of places, and he's very specific, and he tells us clearly that it's impossible for the brain to be connected in two places at the same time. So if you feel your brain making a connection to a bad place, all you have to do is disconnect and plug it into a good place. And if it's possible for it to be Torah or something, wonderful. If not, anything. Count sheep, look at your shoes, look at the color of your shoes. Whatever you have to do to draw your attention, to draw your brain onto something else. And the moment your brain, your thought is on something else, it automatically is disconnecting from the sinful thought or the bad thought. Ukvar mavur b'makom acher. Rabbi Nazal already explained in chapter 72 in Likut Imran, she'ein tzrichen la'asos milchama, that a person doesn't have to fight, battle, and shake his head back and forth in order to get rid of these bad thoughts. Because those kind of things, shaking one's head or clenching one's teeth or those things, Rabbi Nazal says, it does not help at all. Adarabba, just the opposite. unfortunately, that can even cause those negative thoughts to become stronger. Rak, but rather, livli lahashkiach aleim klal. The best thing to do is to ignore them completely. Don't pay attention to it. Don't get angry, don't get upset. Rak lasais eshaloi b'mashu oisik. But rather, go back to what you were doing before that thought came into your mind. B'Torah, if you were learning Torah, or tefillah, or davening, look at the words. Focus on the words that you're saying. Translate them in your mind. Oy masu matan, or business, or anything else. Just connect to something else. V'levli lehistake l'achoyrav klal. And not to turn back at all, not to look back at those negative thoughts. Vaideze memelo tistalik. And through this, those thoughts will leave by themselves. They'll leave, they'll go away from the person. Any questions?
Just wondering, when you talked about on the kisser, you have the four animals, and you have the ox, which is the head of the kosher animals, and the lion, which is the head of the non-kosher animals, correct?
Yes.
So how does it relate to Inyani, Ben Yosef and David? They're supposed to be also respectively Shor and Aryeh.
They are associated with those qualities. There are different things that resemble the lion. We know that David HaMelech showed his power. He was able to kill a lion, to overcome a lion. And Yosef HaTzadik's great strength in Tikkun HaBris, Shmira HaBris, the wife of Potiphar, is compared to a bear attacking him, you know. And he was able to stand up to it and maintain his loyalty to Hashem.
Thank you.
Sure. Baruch Hashem, we'll hold it over here for now. This week is very special for many reasons. We have 3 days of holiday this week. We have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. Thursday and Friday are Rosh Chodesh, going straight into Shabbos. That's 72 hours of Eis Ratzon. And Wednesday is Erev Rosh Chodesh. And this Wednesday we have Yom Kippur Katan. A few thousand people will go to Miron to say Yom Kippur Katan there. Many people go to Hebron. Many people go to the Kaisel. And many people go to their own shul. Shem should help that this week should be a week of bracha and hatzlacha and refuah and yeshua for all of us, Mitzvah Shem.
Amen. Can you hear it,
all the best.